I'm going to do something a little bit different today. If you are an imaginative and visual person, then you may want to close your eyes to visualize some of what I'm going to be discussing. This is going to be John's prologue, according to Hollywood. If you picture it, John's gospel opens like the latest installment in a franchise we're already familiar with. We already know the stories we're going to hear in this gospel, many of them anyway. We certainly know and love the characters already. But this gospel is not just another Hollywood remake, cashing in on the successes of a popular franchise. This story, John's gospel, is something different, something unique. The gospel of John takes the story we already know and tells it in an entirely different way. And when it's over, we are going to see things in a completely new light. Many of you will know the opening passage by heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we move from the Christmas story that we're familiar with, and all the characters in that story, Mary and Joseph, the angels, the shepherds and the sheep, and shift our focus, the movie director moves to a wide-angle shot, a very wide-angle shot. The whole prologue, as it is called, of John's gospel features a giant zoom lens. And really, it's fitting for the second Sunday after Christmas. Today's movie, today's scripture, is the sequel to the story of Christmas. But it's not really a sequel. In movie language, it's kind of like a prequel and a sequel and an origin story all rolled into one and in just a few short verses. If the previous story was all about baby Jesus and the manger and the barn and the sheep, then this story zooms out from there. We move further back from the scene with the animals and the smell of hay and barns. We zoom further out than just the town of Bethlehem and the prophecy made about it. We zoom even further out than the whole nation of Israel and its people living under occupation, waiting for a savior. And as we keep zooming out, we move past the corrupt rulers and their harmful schemes, but we don't stop there. John's gospel has a bigger view than just Israel, bigger even than the Roman Empire. Bigger still than the Northern Hemisphere and Earth itself. That zoom out that opens the Gospel of John is something far beyond what even the best drone cameras in Hollywood can do. It zooms out beyond our galaxy even, to all that is in the universe. Once we've zoomed out that far, where you can't even make out the Milky Way galaxy on the screen anymore, then we've gotten to the appropriate scope of what we're talking about. This Jesus, the Word, was there in the beginning. And everything that is, everything that now fills the screen, came into being through him. He is bigger even than all of that. And then the camera starts to zoom back in again. We return to our galaxy. We see the sun and moon, and then the southeast shore of the Mediterranean. But we don't get too close, not yet. While we're still a ways off, still looking at the whole scene from a distance, then we hear about Jesus, this Word, coming into the world. The world that was created through him. And we hear the narrator telling us that his own people did not accept him. The world did not know him. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. That's another verse that you might know by heart. Those few words capture something profound, something larger than we can truly fathom. This being from all the way out there who made all this came here zoomed in, and became flesh like us. And then the narrator's voice comes back in again, telling us not only about the beginning of the story, but about how it will conclude too, even before this version of the story has really gotten started. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. We already know by this point that the story we are going to hear in the rest of the gospel is not a typical story. We know about the cosmic implications of the main character, this word. But now we learn even more about just how significant this story is. That this is not just a story, and not even just an important story, but that this story is the story, the one that makes sense of it all. The narrator shifts tense. This event of cosmic importance, Jesus, the Word, coming into the world, is not something that is happening, but it is something that has happened already. And it affects us all. For we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. There we hear that past tense again. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If we have all received grace upon grace, and grace and truth came through Jesus, then Jesus changed something for us all. Jesus changed the course of history. And not in some small way, because no one has ever seen God. But it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. We hear from the narrator again, if anyone knows God, then it is because Jesus made him known. This Jesus character we're hearing about, even though the story hasn't started yet, has changed the world already. And now the story can begin. The intro credits have finished rolling, and the camera moves from the drone in the sky, overlooking the whole scene. And for the first time, we are viewing the story from the land that Jesus walked on. It's quite a dramatic beginning, as it is beautiful and compelling and poetic and fascinating. And as is John's style, it manages to say so much in just a few words, and not complicated words either, simple words, straightforward words, but really big ideas. You can probably think of a number of movies that you've seen that have stolen this whole introduction from the Gospel of John. A flashback, a big overhead scene to get a sense of the whole picture, a narrator explaining to you just how important everything you're going to see was, and how it still affects our lives today, and then a slow pan to ground level before the story really gets started. This is the story of Christmas, part two, the unknown origin and the bigger backstory of the character of Jesus. This time, when the story is told in this new way, we know that it involves us. We are included, as the story is so big, our own lives are wrapped up in it as well. As the narrator told us, even though the people God had made did not accept him, to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. This is us. This is where the story is about us as well, where we, even us, are included in the story of Jesus. Because even though Jesus was the only Son and close to the Father's heart, those who believed were given power to become children of God. And it's not just the gospel that makes this claim either. The letter to the Ephesians speaks frequently about inheritance, saying that we, by extension, when we had heard the word of truth and believed in him, were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. According to the good pleasure of the will of God, we were destined for adoption as God's children through Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did, we are now children of God. We are a part of this story too. So sit down, children. Let me tell you a story. The story of how it all came to be. How the world was created, and how the God who made it became human like us, so that we might live to inherit a place in the family of God along with Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen.